The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, New York is banned going number two on the subway.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. What about the platform?
They're asking for a friend. Okay, I must say, I don't understand this. Go on the subway, where are there restrooms on some subway cars?
No, not in my experience, they were not on the subway cars. But what I want to get to is the notion that this has just been banned. Who thought this was a good idea before? I rode the subway for a lot of years. I never saw that happen.
But you haven't been on the subway. I'm going to say 35 years since you've been on the subway. I've been on the New York subway since you have.
Oh, there's no question about that. And I rode it from 34th Street to 42nd Street, so I didn't see all that much of it. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Celtics try to even things up with the Heat. The Bulls hire Billy Donovan, and Bill Belichick dresses down for his morning press conference. But we begin today with the Denver Nuggets holding off the Lakers late and winning game three last night. Now, we both picked the Lakers to win this game, but there was Jamal Murray making key baskets and passes when the Nuggets needed them in the last 2 minutes. The series is 2-1, and it could be 2-1 Denver if Anthony Davis had missed that shot. Wilbon, now what do you make of Denver's chances?
Tony, I don't know. I'm just going to admit to you, I don't know. I think I said to you yesterday, either during your podcast a couple of days ago or yesterday, I don't want to have any more picks. I don't want to pick any games. I want to watch and enjoy the games. I don't know. And, you know, we've grown used to over the decades figuring out what home court means or which teams can play on the road. We're not even dealing with that element, and it's impossible to tell. I started yesterday's comments by saying, I'm not underestimating Denver, but. Well, I did. I underestimated Denver again, and it's just stupid. Tony, Jokic and Murray, and I know you don't want to hear this because you don't want to use this word just yet. I know they aren't known as superstars, but Tony, as basketball entities, either they are superstars or they're right on the cusp of it. That's how great they are multiple times in a series. So maybe we need to start there.
So I'm going to give you a statistic on Murray that is going to buttress everything you just said. He is shooting 73% from three in what is called clutch time, which is defined as within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. He's 8 of 11. That's very impressive. I want to get to the point about, you know, what do you think of Denver's chances now? I sit here and I'm wrong regularly, as are you. But
and
I will sit with the Lakers and I will like the Lakers as much as before. But this needs to be said. If Denver wins this series, if Denver goes from 3-1 down, from 3-1 down, and from 2-0 down, and maybe from 3-1 down, and they win all three, it will be a historic event in the history of the playoffs in the NBA. And I, for one, will be awed by it. I will be awed by it. I'll ask you this one question. How is it humanly possible for Anthony Davis at 6'11 to get two rebounds in 43 minutes? How's that
possible?
Tony,
anybody can have a bad game. I know Anthony Davis was hard on himself, took himself to task. Tony, anybody can have a bad game. Everybody has a bad game. Everybody. I don't care. We go back. We can find a bad game by Wilt. We can find a bad game by Russ. We can find a game by bad games by Magic, Michael,
you think,
and Larry.
Wilt or Russ,
Tony,
had two?
It's a bad game.
Two?
Then they had two. Maybe they had 2 points. And everybody didn't contest rebounds back then. I love those guys. But there were two guys rebounding, the power forward and the center. That was about it. Well, let me go back on something for a second. Murray, the shots Murray's hitting, Tony. Look, I hate that commercial, but I love it. The appeal of it, the next Chris Paul, where Alfonso Ribeiro plays the next Chris Paul. Is there a next Steph Curry? Even though this Steph Curry is great, and I'd take him in a heartbeat, isn't Jamal Murray is doing Steph Curry things? Is he not?
Yeah, but I've heard you say that about Lillard, and I've heard you say that about Mitchell, now I'm hearing you say it about Murray.
No. Mitchell doesn't play the same way. He doesn't. But, Tony, the shots, that Jamal is Murray is making. There's some from 29 feet out. Dame Lillard and Steph Curry. They're still ahead of them on the list, Tone.
That's why I gave you that statistic. That's why I did that.
Man, the Celtics and Heat are finally back on the floor tonight. The teams last played Saturday with Gordon Hayward returning for the Seas, who won by 11. Boston can either tie the series at 2 or fall behind 3-1. So, Tony, does this feel like a deciding game to you?
Yeah, that's an interesting word, a deciding game. It's different than a must game, obviously. Normally, I would say yes. But again, if they go down 3-1, we've seen Denver come back twice from 3-1. And as you said before, there is no home court advantage. It's just different now. So I am not sure that it is a deciding game, though I think you think it is. I will say that if you're down in this position and you're Boston, you may very well think it's a must game. I personally think Gordon Hayward tilts the floor now. I think he's calm. I think he passes well. I think he gives them an option that they need. He's a really good scorer, and he's a really good team player. I think him coming back makes a difference.
Well, it could make the smallest difference, and that's all you need if you think the series is still even. Uh-huh. And I think that Hayward, he could make that difference, Tone. Look, this series to me is going to be decided tonight. The series, the winner of game 4 in this case, by either if it's even, Boston's going to pull even and have momentum. If it's 3-1, I don't see Miami as tough-minded as they are, you know, sort of wilting. So I think the winner of tonight's game will win this series. We'll see. Hayward's part of the storyline. But also, you know, Jimmy Butler is going to be looking to maybe do something a little different from the previous game, whether or not they want him to get involved more offensively. I wouldn't change anything Jimmy Butler and Miami are doing, even though they fall behind in these games. Okay, fine. They're tough-minded. They're tough physically. They can come back and falling behind. I think some of this stuff is people overthinking. You know, teams have personalities, and they often play to it, and it works out okay.
This series is different to me than the other one. I'm not going to be surprised if Miami wins this. Miami was 4-for-26 from 3 in the second half of the last game. They got guys like Hero and Robinson who can shoot. If they're 8-for-26, they win the game. I'm going to be surprised if the Lakers lose. I'm not going to be surprised in this series. We move on. Your Chicago Bulls have named Long Island's own Billy Donovan as their new head coach. This stat is wild. He's the first head coach the Bulls have hired in the last 17 years who has actually had NBA head coaching experience. Where were they finding their other coaches? In a supermarket? All right, Wilbon, what does success look like for Donovan in Chicago?
You didn't like Tibbs as a head coach. You didn't like Phil Jackson as a head coach. You didn't like Doug Collins. I'm just going to ask you about three guys who were pretty darn good.
That wasn't 17 years. Phil Jackson wasn't 17 years ago. Stop. Not Phil Jackson. Stop.
Those guys didn't have any previous head coaching experience either. Yes, the Billy Donovan hire is a departure of sorts, Tony. Look, the Bulls have to have two primary goals. First and second. One is the health of their players, which is not on Billy Donovan. They have gone out and revamped the entire sort of training and health staff. They've done all that, and they needed to. All right? Because guys couldn't get on the floor for 40 games a year, it seemed. And it was just killing them because you don't know what the pieces are. I like the pieces, but they got to be out there. The second part is the Bulls need player development. The young players they have need to be developed, even including Zach LaVine, who is the best of them. But they got a bunch of young guys, Tone, and they need to see whether they can play. And Billy Donovan, with what he's done at Oklahoma City after losing Russ and KD, kept getting that team to the playoffs. Now, he had some old hands who are great Hall of Fame future players like Chris Paul, but they need to develop their players, and that's what they're looking at Billy Donovan for, in part.
They also lost your boy Playoff Pete. Didn't seem to hurt him. Didn't seem to hurt Billy Donovan, again, from Long Island. The Bulls stink, okay? They stink. They're irrelevant in the NBA right now. They won 22 games this year. They won 22 games last year. They won 27 the year before. They're trending down. They haven't been a good team since Derrick Rose got hurt. You may like Zach LaVine. He scores a lot of points. The teams don't win. Lauri Markkanen, Otto Porter, they don't like it up. They don't light it up at all. I think success for Billy Donovan is the playoffs within 2 years. I think he is a guy who can make lemonade out of lemons. I think he can max out players like he did in college. I think he's really good. But you gotta have the talent. And I'm not sure they have the talent right now.
Tony, nobody's sure. They gotta be on the floor. Markkanen goes 30-20 opening night last year and then doesn't seem to play for 2 months. Otto Porter, like, leads the league in three-point shooting with Washington. He comes, plays well with the Bulls. They go 7-2 right out of the gate. He's not on the floor anymore. Again, health and player development. If they can do that, I think the Bulls could be a 500 team this coming season, whenever it starts or however many games that is, and that would speak well of Billy Donovan if he can do that.
Yeah, I'm going to give you the status of the Bulls right now.
I like Billy Donovan as the hire.
The status of the Bulls right now is reflected in the fact that the Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, the subtext of that is, we got to go back 30 years to show a Bulls team that anybody cares about. Let's take a break.
How many years we got to go back for the Knicks?
Trevor Bauer.
Since you got off on saying that.
The Knicks.
How many years we got to go back for the Knicks?
Stop. Huh? No, you never got
years?
Any pushback on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 60. Is Trevor 50. Bauer smart to pitch on short rest from here on in?
And what's the word for what Bill Belichick wore to his press conference this morning? The Bulls will win more games than the Knicks this year. These Bulls,
the Knicks are
who
terrible.
You just trashed. The Bulls
Need
are terrible, too.
My lips.
Huh? The Take
Knicks
some accountability.
Are terrible.
For your
terrible.
Stinking team.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time to get verbally acrobatic in my attic, and what's the word? What's first?
Trevor Bauer is blank for pitching every fourth day down the stretch.
He's old school. I mean, he says he can do it. He says he has body science that proves he can do it, and that way he sounds like DeChambeau. He's, you know, he's sort of weird, he's iconoclastic, but a lot of things that he says make sense. This is Koufax and Gibson land. This is Seaver and Palmer land going every fourth day. But his ERA, Mike, is 1.880. He could be a horse in the playoffs. And Cincinnati, amazingly, after being garbage for so long, may very well make the playoffs.
Throwback, Tony. Throwback. It's going back to another era. You and I talked about this a week or so ago when, as an anniversary, we talked about Denny McClain. And we were both stunned to look up that Denny McClain had like 46 starts in a year because he was pitching every four, and sometimes it'd be every, you know, after 3 days rest if he wanted to. And nobody does that anymore. There are no complete games, and guys start like 31 games. That's it. That's all done. And I must say, I'm not a big Trevor Bauer guy, but this is putting me in his camp if he wants to pitch every fourth day.
He's a free agent to be. This could really pay off for him. He's starting on short rest tonight and again on Sunday. Next.
Last one. Bill Belichick's look at this morning's press conference was blank.
It was what I call mugshot chic. Belichick, look at him. His eyes are completely vacant. He looks like he picked out these clothes in the middle of the night. He actually looks like he came from somewhere in the deep forest, like a survivalist, or he was being grilled in a police station after being in some sort of a brawl. Well, but have you seen the movie Good Will Hunting? It's a really good Boston movie with Damon and Affleck. Bill Belichick, Casey Affleck's character at 68 years old would look like Bill Belichick in that picture.
I'm troubled by this, Tony. I'm going for the same theme that you are. This was incarcerated. I mean, it looked like he was in custody. You know, and he just sort of broke loose and he got into a taxi like one of those old film war, one of those great movies where he's on the lam. He looks like David Jansen in The Fugitive. Yes. And this is sad because Bill Belichick, and people don't believe me, I think you believe this, he is so well-dressed when he wants to be, when he's not thumbing his nose at the NFL, when he comes out in Armani. Yes, people, I am not imagining. I have seen Bill Belichick and been in his company when he's really well-dressed, but not
this time. No. Enough verbiage. Verbiage, not verbiage. Verbiage. Let's take one last break, but still to come. We know Tyrod Taylor had a chest injury, but wait until you hear what happened.
Ugh. And we're going to share some thoughts on the passing of one of my heroes, Gale Sayers.
One of the greatest running backs of all time. Sayers and Butkus, it seems to me, are the Bears. Sayers and Butkus.
Tone, I'm not going to disagree with you. You know what jersey I wear on Sundays in my house.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 58th birthday, John Harbaugh. Not as famous or as much of a lightning rod as his younger brother, Jim, but he beat Jim's 49ers in Super Bowl 47, the only Super Bowl matchup between head coaching brothers. When Jim left for Michigan, John had the NFL all to himself. He has coached the Ravens since 2008, when the Ravens let Brian Billick go. Harbaugh was a real long shot for the job. He had never run an offense or a defense. He was a special teams coach for the Eagles. But he wowed Ravens owner Steve Bisciotti in the interview. Harbaugh is 120-74 in Baltimore. He's 10-7 in the playoffs. He's sitting on an offense that was number one in the NFL last year, directed by Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP. It was Harbaugh who picked Jackson over Joe Flacco and tailored the offense to him, even though Flacco had won Harbaugh that Super Bowl. This coming Monday night, Baltimore will host the current Super Bowl champions, Kansas City, in a matchup many people feel is a preview of the AFC Championship.
Tony, isn't it safe to say now, where we stand now, that John is simply a better coach than his brother Jim? And I'd hire Jim. I'd hire Jim and Harvey. John is now a better coach. Can we say that with some certainty? Are you aboard that, Chip?
Yeah, when you win the Super Bowl, I think that makes it happen. Happy anniversary, Steve Carlton. On this day, 37 years ago, Carlton won the 300th game of his Hall of Fame career. From 1963 to 1982, there were no 300-game winners. In the 80s, Carlton, Gaylord Perry, Don Sutton, Phil Niekro, and Tom Seaver all got there. History lesson, kids. Carlton for the Phillies, Seaver mainly for the Mets, and Jim Palmer for the Orioles were the greatest pitchers of their generation. In 1972, Carlton may have had the greatest season of all. For a terrible Phillies team that won only 59 games, Carlton went 27-10 with a 1.97 ERA and 310 strikeouts. Carlton finished with 329 wins, second only to Warren Spahn among left-handers. He won four Cy Youngs. He had 4,136 strikeouts, number one among lefties until Randy Johnson surpassed him. For a brief time, Carlton and Nolan Ryan had a bit of a duel to see who would finish with the most strikeouts of all time. Both broke Walter Johnson's all-time record. Ultimately, Ryan powered past Carlton by pitching deep into his 40s.
I was going to say for a moment there, when you're talking about the greatest pitchers of their generation, you left out Nolan Ryan, who I know you have personally loved. Nolan Ryan. You left Nolan Ryan out there until you included him there at the end. But it's great watching those highlights, Tony, because almost every pitch that Carlton threw in those clips we just showed was a curveball, a breaking pitch at the very least. And you know that Nolan Ryan was Ryan Express. He was bringing heat. The contrast was amazing. But it was just a period of time, talk about throwback earlier in the show, to watch great pitchers do their thing.
A melancholy trails to Gale Sayers. The Hall of Fame running back of the Chicago Bears died at 77. Sayers was the football equivalent of Sandy Koufax. They had a short but meteoric career, the kind that left them legendary beyond their sheer numbers. Sayers played just 7 seasons because of knee injuries, retiring in 1971. But he was so great that he became the youngest player ever inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at age 34. Sayers had 5 great seasons in which his reputation was built and solidified. In those seasons, he was 5 times All-Pro, averaged 5 yards per carry. Those 5 seasons produced most of his 4,956 yards and 56 total touchdowns. He was nearly impossible to bring down. He averaged more than 30 yards per kickoff return and 14.5 yards per punt return. He once scored 6 touchdowns in a game. Think of all the great elusive runners you have ever seen. They all owe a debt to Gale Sayers. His friendship with his teammate Brian Piccolo, who was dying of cancer, was the basis for the great movie Brian's Song. Wilbon, I met Gale Sayers a couple of times, but I know you felt very close to him.
Well, Tony, it grew that way. You see that picture there because of you, and I owe you a debt of gratitude I can never repay. Because in one of those golf tournaments, I remember you said to Gale Sayers said to you, I think, Wilbon says, I'm his hero. I don't believe that for a second. And then because of you guys playing, I got the photo, which is in my house, the most valued piece of memorabilia I have, that has Sayers and Butkus on it right after they were drafted. And it's autographed to me. They each signed it to me because of Mrs. Sayers. And I am grateful for that. I got to know him late. He was the last of my sporting heroes I ever got to meet. Tony, he scored 6 touchdowns against the 49ers, and then he got hurt against the 49ers. Kermit Alexander put a helmet on his knee, and George Halas, the founder, owner, then coach, wept openly with Gale Sayers. That's how much Sayers meant to him. And Sayers and Butkus meant everything to me as a kid. Everything I learned about football, it was because of them. And I used to butt dial Dick Butkus inadvertently, and I was terrified because he's the most intimidating man ever. And I reached Butkus one day, and he said, say something, ask me something crazy. And I started to talk to him, and I told him that he and Sayers were my heroes. And he said to me, Sayers is much more worthy of being your hero than I am. I'm not sure that was true, but they were some tag team. And it's been a difficult day for me and a lot of people in Chicago who loved Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers was the platonic form of running back. Everybody who's run before and since wishes they ran like that. Omissions. This weekend's game between North Texas and Houston and Tulsa and Arkansas State are postponed due to coronavirus cases and contact tracing. Let's get to the big finish if we can. The Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung with a painkilling injection. Oh, my God. Your thoughts?
You just expressed it. Oh, my God. The NFLPA is investigating. Justin Herbert, in another note, is going to start. Jimmy Garoppolo missed practice. Nick Mullins is likely to start for the Niners on Sunday. Your thoughts?
Who is Nick Mullins? I just can't believe that Jimmy Garoppolo not being there is going to help them in any way. The Dodgers won the NL West for the 8th straight year. Is that a big deal?
Means less than ever. You do get the 8th seed, but you know, you got to play all the games that anybody else plays, Tone, so it doesn't help as much. Game 3, Ning stars tonight. Who you got?
I'm taking Tampa Bay. I think it's their year. What do I know? Last one, Lucas Giolito against Shane Bieber tonight. Who you got?
Tony, it's time for the White Sox to start getting some momentum back. You don't want to limp totally into the playoffs, and they're good, so they need to win this game tonight. Kind of, sort of need.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. Tune in tonight at 6:30 to catch Stephen A. Smith and me on a special edition of Sports Center. Hoops, baby. Hoops talk.
Danny Sheridan, Happy New Year. Got a nice card for me. I just want to say it out loud.